today in the next few episodes, Sarah and I are going to take up the concept of pilgrimages, particularly pilgrimages within the United States for the Jubilee year of 2025. Of course, we are very, very much aware that we have a global reach by God's grace. And so I say the United States because that's where Sarah and I are located. To the extent that it is possible for you, consider your own country and your own locale in terms of places of pilgrimage to consider. But there's underlying principles, of course. Of course, we're going to go into etymology, definitions, contrast. You know, what's the difference between a pilgrimage and, let's say, a vacation? That's a common concern. So that caveat. Just think of this in terms of where you are. And also, we will have some insights as perhaps you're in a place. I know we go into some places, Sarah, that the practice of the faith isn't very free. And also, we have some people who watch who are not physically able to go on a pilgrimage. So do we have something for them? And indeed we do, friends. Indeed we do. All right. Our terms. Pilgrim, which we get, pilgrim. And shrine. And then pilgrim church. That was a term that came in with Vatican II. So what is a pilgrim? It comes from the Latin word peregrinus, meaning foreigner. So it refers to a person who undertakes a pilgrimage or a journey to a shrine or holy place. And holy, one of the aspects of holiness, sacredness, is it's a thing, idea, place separated for God, that's sacred just for God. A pilgrimage refers to that journey undertaken by a pilgrim for spiritual reasons to a holy place or a shrine. Pilgrimages are often motivated by the desire to fulfill a vow or promise, to express gratitude for a favor received, or to seek a particular grace or favor. Shrine, from the Latin word scrinium, means a container for a book or paper, and it refers to a place of worship, which is usually associated with a miraculous event, such as the apparition of a saint, a sacred object, such as relics of a saint, or a holy person, such as where a saint lived and worked. Shrines are often places of pilgrimages. Shrines in the U.S., there are approximately, as of the printing of the books I have, 121 such places in the U.S. that reflect the requirements of the Code of Canon Law, which states, the term shrine signifies a church or other sacred place to which the faithful make pilgrimages for a particular pious reason with the approval of the ordinary. Ordinary is another word for bishop, and that would be from Canon 1230. A pilgrim church, this expression came into common use with Vatican II as a way of expressing the idea that all Christians are on pilgrimage towards the eschaton, heaven. Just as the chosen people were on a pilgrimage to the promised land, and this is going to be an item we're going to tack back for those who are homebound or for some other reason have an impediment to making a physical pilgrimage.
Right. Yeah, it is interesting to think that the church has always had this conscientious way of really consecrating holy ground, right? Setting aside buildings, setting aside territories and spaces that are particularly given over to the church militant, as it were, as physical exterior locations where one can go to, you know, and not just a church, right? I mean, because the derivation of a shrine is something more, right? There is something beyond just a church, where people can go to, like you said, fulfill those obligations or seek greater assistance from the church. And that's been for, I don't know, I mean, I would be kind of curious when the term shrine, you know, kind of became a living reality, but certainly people traveling to these places that were set aside has long been known.
Yes, and you bring up an extremely important point that we are helomorphic, right? We're spirit and body. And the church always has great custody, great respect for the body. So that physical aspect, the tangible, it's an essential feature of her. Mm-hmm. We aren't just a collection of ideas, right? Right.
And I think that that's why the people who, you know, may not be able to go to a physical place do feel a loss, right? Because the reality is we are a sacramental people, right? There are outward signs that have been given to us as the reality of inward grace. And so to not be able to move the body to a place of worship, which is sort of like, you know, the displacement of the person from where they are to where they want to be, right? That psychological transition is an important element of the pilgrimage. And so for those who are not able to make that, it is a loss. And in some instances, you know, perhaps that is that's what you offer up, right? As the loss, and that can supply maybe the grace that is lacking in the physical movement is simply to supplant the movement with the desire for movement, right? Because I mean, it does help us to displace ourselves, right? If you're in kind of a funk and you're not doing well in one place, you know, go outside in the sunshine or take a walk in the rain, right? You displace your body to change an interior recollection, right? I mean, that by just having a change of venue, oftentimes that can bring a change of mental health, right? So that's the same thing, right? The pilgrimage, the church has always recognized that element, like you said, of the hylomorphism of the body, man is body and spirit.
That's right. All right, friends, let us pick up. We're going to compare a pilgrimage to that of a vacation and a retreat. Till the next time, friends. Fides et ratio.